That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here. After a 3-1 Blackhawks loss to the Seattle Kraken at Climate Pledge Arena, you can call or text 312-981-7200 to chime in. And let's go back to Seattle and bring in the great Troy Murray for a little game recap. Troy, we talked about the shots basically in each intermission, first and second, just not enough. They finished the game with 19. It's just not going to cut it, and it just felt like too little too late in the third period.
Yeah, they can't do that. Seattle was looking for a 60-minute effort. I thought that they played hard for 60 minutes. The Blackhawks, you know, tried to bail themselves out in the third period. They just didn't play well, and they need to find a way to have that consistency in their game, get the energy in their game. When they ended up being down 2-0, there was some urgency that came into their game, and they scored shortly thereafter and then created some opportunities and all of a sudden had Seattle on their heels at times in their own end of the ice. You didn't see that through the first 40 minutes. So for a coaching staff, it's got to be pretty frustrating to know that ability is there to play better, to play with, you know, the thought process of how you need to play to win games, stay within the structure. And Charlie, you and I talked about it during the intermissions. The puck placement when they were putting pucks in offensively to try and get in the forecheck, to try and create something, just no thought to what they were doing in the first 40 minutes. Everything that they did was going to the goaltender. They didn't chip it in behind the defenseman. So they had no opportunity to get in on the forecheck. They had no chance to get any rhythm to their offensive game and spend some time in the offensive zone, wear Seattle down on certain shifts, maybe draw some penalties. But, you know, just mental mistakes through the first 40 minutes and then tried to recover in the third. And that's kind of been the theme all season long.
According to Natural Stat Trick, the Blackhawks generated only 3 high-quality scoring chances. I mean, they played a majority
in the entire game?
The entire game. And wow. Obviously, they only had, 26 seconds of power play time after it got negated. So they didn't have any power play chances. But, I mean, that's just, you're not going to win any hockey games with that low of a number.
No. And they didn't deserve to win the game. They got close to it and maybe were able to, you know, find a way to tie it up and then play something in overtime, but they didn't deserve. They weren't the better team in this game. Peter Mrazek was fantastic again, keeping his team alive and giving them an opportunity, but just some subpar performances from the players out there, and that's on them.
Can you explain that? You know, it feels like the Blackhawks pushed again in the third period, and we've seen that in games past where the Blackhawks come out a little flat in the first and second, and they make that big third period push. What is it psychologically that they can't bring that kind of effort to the first period?
I don't know. And if you're the coaching staff, you're trying to figure it out as well. You look at the players, and a lot of these guys have been around, so they should know how to prepare themselves. They should know how to be able to play for 60 minutes consistently the way that they need to play. And, this is not a young lineup that the Blackhawks have. They've got a couple young players, but they don't have a young lineup that you can blame inexperience on. This is an experienced lineup, so they should be better. They need to be better, and it's not going to get any, you're not going to get any successful results the way that they're playing right now, and to try and turn it on in the third period to get that energy, you know, just there's no explanation for it, and there's nothing that the coaches can do. You can draw up a game plan, you can say this is what we need to do, but unless you have that urgency, unless you play the game with smarts, you're not going to get results. And right now they're not in sync of what they're doing. And I think they're spending too much time in their own end of the ice, but that's because in a lot of ways that they're not doing what they need to do, create offensive opportunities and play in the offensive zone. That's where you gain momentum, is when you're getting scoring opportunities. But, you know, when it's a one-and-done shot because there's no traffic in front of the net, well, it's just a save and it's a face-off. And the Blackhawks, you know, 45% in this game in face-offs, they're, you know, you're betting 50-50 that they're going to lose the draw. So, you know, until you kind of straighten out some of the smaller issues, the big results aren't going to come.
What would you do if you're Luke Richardson with the lines? It seems like he's trying to press a lot of different buttons, and we've seen a ton of line changes over the last few games, some of them in-game. We saw it again tonight. It ended up working in the third period. You know, it's probably hard for him to want to have some patience to keep the lines together, but at the same time, you know, through 40 minutes tonight, none of the four lines were working.
No, and you have to make adjustments to try and find that, and they've gone back to certain combinations that work. I mean, Nick Foligno playing up with Bedard, and then, you know, Dickinson line. You're not really concerned about what you need to do with Dickinson's line or Reichel's line. You know, maybe you move Reichel up, whatever. But I don't know what combinations you can try. They've tried all the combinations, but it just doesn't seem to click. And when you get into a game like this where nothing is happening, you, as a coach, you just can't sit there and be repetitious and throw the same lines out that aren't getting any results, that aren't getting any chemistry and not creating any opportunities. So you have to make some adjustments. If I'm the coach and I'm on the bench and I see Ryan Donato working as hard as he does, he's got 8 goals on the season, and you know, he's just a guy that gets it done because he works hard, he competes. Well, I'm sitting here and I'm looking, and okay, well, that guy's going back out on the ice. I don't care what the line combination is. I'm putting them back out there because you got to go with some guys that they're putting the heart in, the effort in, and right now they're not getting enough of that from a lot of the players. And you look at some of the ice time in the game, and you kind of, it correlates to what the eye test says, that, you know, they don't deserve to get more ice time, and then certain guys do. And that's just kind of, I think, when, if you're the coaching staff, would you like to stick with the same lines? I was talking about that with Dennis Savard's line. For years, Savard, Larmer, and Secord played together, and they never had to separate them because there was that chemistry there. Do they have bad games? Yeah. Do they have bad periods? Of course they do. But Luke Richardson right now and all the coaching staff, I mean, they can go have a beer somewhere and grab the napkins and make as many line combinations as they want, but they basically tried them all.
Mm, yeah. All right, before I let you go, be honest with me. How nervous were you when you had to do play-by-play at the beginning of the third period?
Well, I didn't know I did it. All of a sudden, John's mic just cut out there, and I kind of look at him, and he raises, like, he doesn't, I don't know. And so the game was going on, so I just had to start calling it. I'm not very good at it, obviously. And if you guys back at the station play any clips of my play-by-play, I'm going to be ticked off at you guys.
I'm not kidding, Troy. Like 30 seconds after you said this on the air, I said to Brett and Jack, and I said,
yeah, I Troy know you
was,
guys.
No, I said Troy was 20 seconds away from calling a goal, and then you literally said it 30 seconds later to John. I'm like, man, you know, I would have loved to hear that.
Yeah. I didn't want to call one of their goals, but at least it would have been a goal call. I could put that on my resume for my next job.
If I was in that situation, I would have literally taken off my headset and just give it to John, because there's no way I was doing it.
I never thought of that.
All right. Just a note for the future.
I wanted my 15 seconds of fame.
Man, that probably felt like 3 minutes.
It was, well, you know, but okay, here's the thing, too, is I see numbers, but in my brain I'm not correlating the number to the name. So
right.
I it takes me a second to figure out who's got the puck, and you know, as much appreciation as John makes it look so easy and sound so easy, it is not easy to just like at the snap of your fingers figure out who's got the puck and moving it and what number and whatever. I mean, I'm looking around squinting trying to figure out what number it is and what his name is.
All right, well, you have 2 games to prep, and you'll do the play-by-play next game in Vancouver, and John can do the analyst role. How's that?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right, Troy. Safe travels to Vancouver.
Talk to you in a couple.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
That was Troy Murray in Seattle breaking down play-by-play, analyst. He could do it all. Wears a lot of hats, our guy. Yeah, tough game by the Blackhawks. Just, I think you look defensively, the Blackhawks didn't play terrible defensively. Like, I thought it was a decent game. You know, they only gave up 66 shot attempts, 26 shots on goal by Seattle, 11 high quality scoring chances in all situations. So a lot of those numbers are pretty respectable from the Blackhawks' point of view. It's the offense that really struggled. 41 shot attempts, only 19 shots on goal, 17 scoring chances, and 3 high quality scoring chances. There were, I think, through 2 periods, the Hawks had 9 shots on goal. 6 of the 9 shots came from defensemen, and 8 of the 9 shots were from 41 feet and out. The one that wasn't, I think it was a Teuvo Teravainen snapshot from like 25 feet. So the Hawks didn't generate anything in the house area, the high danger inner slot, whatever you want to call it, the dangerous areas. The Blackhawks did not get anything from those areas in the first two periods. They made a push in the third. We've seen that in the past. We've seen it twice in Dallas. We've seen it against San Jose. We've seen the Blackhawks make third period pushes, but I think the frustrating thing for fans when watching this game is where is that effort in the third period? The effort they turned in the third period, where is that in the first two periods? And I think it's fair, too, and that's probably what we're going to hear from the post-game locker room as well, are the guys saying we need to bring the third period effort and round it out into a 60-minute performance. And I don't blame Luke Richardson for going into the line blender. I mean, that's the first time all season we saw Craig Smith in a top line role in the third period, and it paid off immediately. Ryan Donato scoring the goal in the third period to cut the lead to 2-1, or cut the deficit to 2-1 for the Blackhawks. Taylor Hall, Nick Foligno, Philip Kurashev was the second line. Teravainen, Dickinson, Anderson was the second. And Maroon, Reichel, Bertuzzi dropping to the fourth line, because at that point the Hawks they needed something. And I even thought the Reichel line had a few decent shifts in the third period, where I think the Hawks that fourth line had a shift right before a TV timeout, and then coming out of the TV timeout, Luke Richardson went right back to that fourth line with Reichel, Maroon, and Bertuzzi, because they turned in a great shift the shift before the TV timeout. So I thought that was noteworthy too, where Luke was basically just like, show me a line that I can throw out there, and if you turn in a good shift, you're going to get another one shortly after, because he was looking for anything at that point. The Seattle Kraken ended up scoring the first goal of the hockey game. I thought it was unfortunate. It was a goal by Matty Beniers. Alec Martinez, who returned to the lineup after 12 games with a groin injury, his first game since October 15th, he made the pinch, and it led to a little odd man rush for Seattle. Teuvo Teravainen slid, and he got his stick on the puck, and it looked like the pass, Jared McCann's pass, was going to be a little bit behind Matty Beniers, but because it hit the stick of Teuvo Teravainen, it set Matty Beniers up right in his wheelhouse for the one-timer, and he made no mistake to put Seattle up 1-0. I think the frustrating part, too, if you're the Blackhawks, is the Kraken came into this game scoring the first goal just 4 times this season, which is the fewest in the NHL, and they were 2-1-1 in those 4 games. So that it's not even like they, you know, they're 4-0 in the games where they score first. Like they're still kind of a vulnerable team trying to find its way, and for the Blackhawks not to be able to score the first goal and then kind of build on that was a little bit unfortunate. I will say, you know, we were talking about it during the intermission, the Blackhawks had just 26 seconds of power play time today, so they didn't get any power play time, and it was a pretty questionable call. If we're just calling a spade a spade, Seth Jones was penalized for interference, and I mean, he was standing there, that he deserves that ice as well, and it's not like he skated into that area to make the pick, and it looked like he tried to get out of the way last second, and unfortunately he got penalized for it. And it was noteworthy because coming into the second period, there was 4-on-4 time for about a minute and a half or so, or about a minute and 15 or whatever it was, and then Seattle ended up going on the power play for 20 whatever seconds, and they ended up cashing in to make it 2-0. So that negated power play by the Blackhawks affected their opportunity to potentially tie the game, but it also gave Seattle the opportunity to extend their lead, and they did exactly that with the however many seconds of power play time that they did have. So it's basically like a potential two-goal swing that didn't go the Blackhawks' way. Was that the reason the Blackhawks lost this hockey game? No chance. But you just look, you can pinpoint some moments in the game where you're like, ah, if this puck goes the other way. I even think of the Ryan Donato chance early in the game when Joey Decord misplayed the puck behind his own net, and like Donato was like a step and a half away from potentially poking that in, and the Blackhawks taking a 1-0 lead. So, and then, so just those little plays that could change the feeling of a game, the Blackhawks weren't able to do. And so it's unfortunate that through 40 minutes of hockey, the Blackhawks just didn't generate any sort of offense. And so there's a lot of blame to go around. And I think the Hawks are going to be disappointed by the effort offensively tonight in Seattle. All right, let's take a break because we have post-game sound rolling in from Vancouver. When we come back, we'll hear from Nick Foligno, Ryan Donato, and Luke Richardson on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Blackhawks post-game show on 720 WGN.
And they're going to wave the icing as Seth Jones reached in with the stick and deflected that one down into the Hawk end. Now loose puck in front of the net. Well, the Hawks had control of the puck but misplayed it. Puck flowed into open ice and Chris Tanev was right there to fire it into the empty Hawks net. That's his fourth goal in the last three games. It should salt this one away. Seattle 3 and the Hawks 1 with 18 seconds left in the third.
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show, that was the empty net goal by the Kraken to seal the deal tonight. Chicago losing 3-1 to the Seattle Kraken. If you want to chime in via call or text, 312-981-7200. I think we had a caller, but they just dropped, so feel free to call back in. Let's go to Ryan Donato, who spoke to the media in Vancouver, scored his eighth goal of the season, which leads the team. No other player has more than five on the Blackhawks, which is a little concerning. But Ryan Donato, he was terrific in that third period, specifically when he got bumped to Connor Bedard's line on the top line with Bedard and Craig Smith. Let's hear what he had to say after this loss.
Why did it take three periods to find that, the legs and the life that you guys are showing there?
It's tough to say, right? I think if we had the answer, we would change it right away. You know, they were doing a good job at breaking the pucks out. I think Fliege was just talking about how we were dumping it on their goalie. He was making a lot of good cutoffs and making good exits, and we didn't really have much ozone time to start the first period. And we weren't really shooting the puck and trying to make the perfect play. I think we had a couple chances in the first that were really good chances that, you know, we missed the net or, you know, we just don't convert on. So it's tough. There's not much you can do now about it. And we got to regroup and come back for Vancouver.
Seems like a lot of the games followed one of two scripts where you play well for two periods and then kind of get in your heels in the third, like the Minnesota game, or struggle for two periods and then find a push in the third. Well, what can you do to string three good periods together?
Just hold each other accountable. I mean, I think guys are sick of having that feeling, you know. I think we all know it, and I think just coming prepared and doing all you can. I think, you know, it's funny, like, when we all are on the same page and play the right way, that's when everybody has success. And I think, you know, we just got to get back to that and, you know, hold each other accountable. So, you know, like, you're not just having one guy that's, or anybody, or even myself, like, you know, I mean, taking a shift off and making sure everybody's going. And, you know, against teams like this that can score and create a lot of offense, you can't take a shift off.
What do you say to Connor, who's not used to going this long without a goal? How do you get him going?
I mean, we've all been there before, right? Like, there's so many guys in this league that are amazing players that, you know, have a tough time sometimes finding the back of the net. And, you know, it's funny, you know, like, sometimes it's going to be a lucky one where it bounces off your shin pad, off your skate, and, you know, you're just around the net and it hits you and goes in. So I know he's probably feeling it a little bit and he wants to score, but I know he can definitely turn it the other way and get just as hot, you know. So I think he's just got to stay positive, continue to try to play the right way. And I know that when he is getting hot and feels good, he can be one of the most dominant guys in the league. So I just I hope he continues to stay positive and continues to work hard. And I mean, he's one of the hardest workers I've ever met, so I don't think that's gonna be a problem. I think hopefully they'll turn it around. So
what did you see on your goal?
Just trying to get the puck to the net. I think we were talking on the bench, we just weren't getting enough shots, and you know, sometimes the distance shot isn't the best play, trying to shoot it through guys' feet and that kind of stuff. But you know, if you're not getting anything, you might as well try something, just try and get something on net, try and create some sort of action. And then the rebound kind of popped out, and I just tried to get it to the net again.
You're averaging, I think, about a goal every other game. Were you seeing what just was clicking for you?
It's a good question. I mean, I think if I had that earlier in my career, I would have done it then, you know. So I think for me, I just work hard and try and do the right things. And I always talk about it, but it's my faith that, you know, if you do the hard work, and good things usually happen.
That was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato, scored his 8th goal of the season in this game. He was talking about some of the missed chances earlier in the game. The Blackhawks, it was Connor Bedard, Tyler Bertuzzi, and Taylor Hall all had chances in the first period, but right before the first TV timeout, first half of the first period, and all three of them missed the net. So the Hawks did have some chances. Unfortunately, they just couldn't get them on net, and they ended up finishing in the first period with just 3 shots on goal. I think 8 of them were blocked, and 3 others missed the net, and it was probably those 3 that I'm talking about. I like what he said, too, about Connor Bedard. I mean, that guy, Connor is you could sense the frustration. We've been saying it for a while now. His goal drought is now at 8 games. Last game against Minnesota, he logged 1640 of ice time. It was the fewest in a game this season. And I think the thing for me that it has been a little bit concerning over the last few games for me has been his the chances haven't been there as much. He had 1 shot on goal versus Detroit, 2 shots on goal versus Minnesota, and he had 1 shot on goal tonight against Seattle, and that came a minute and 32 seconds left in regulation. And last year, Connor only went 4 times all season with 0 shots on goal. Now, one of them was the New Jersey game where he fractured his jaw in the first period, so it's kind of disqualified. So basically 3 full games where he had 0 shots, and he almost went with 0. He almost had 0 shots in this one. So 4 shots on goal total for Bedard in the last 3 games. That's when you start to wonder if you're Luke Richardson, like how do I get this guy going and put him with some line mates to get jump started. And it's probably a primary reason he went with Kurashev and Teravainen on Bedard's line tonight, because those are the two guys that he's had the most success with. It was Teravainen at the beginning of the season and Kurashev last season. So he was trying to kind of rekindle some magic there, but it didn't work. Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno also spoke to the media in Vancouver after this game. Let's hear what he had to say.
First 2 periods, how does that happen after 3 days off?
I don't know. That's disappointing. We talked about it. They start fast here too, and just didn't have an answer for that. And that's disappointing.
Four regulation goals in the last 4 games. Is what has to change there?
Well, I just think we got to get on the inside more. I mean, it's desperation at the end of the day. I mean, Donald's goal is a great result of that. It's just wanting it, wanting to score, wanting to get in the hard areas, wanting to make a difference, wanting to be around the net and pay a price. And we just don't have enough guys wanting to do that, right? It's, you know, you can say all we want, to got to get shots through. We got to, like, it's just a mindset of wanting to get to the net, wanting to be around there, wanting to make a difference. And, you know, tonight, especially after the way we set things up to have a few days off and feel good and get ready, I mean, it's too bad. I guess you could say our legs were there in the third, but you can't, you know, we were hanging around. It's a game that was almost waiting for us to take it over, and we just didn't. The penalty, power play goal kind of hurts, just because we did such a great job on the kill tonight, and not to kill that one off at the end is disappointing.
Speaking of, like, getting it close, for the first 2 periods, I don't think there was a shot on goal closer than 40 feet. Was that something they were doing, or just...
Well, I just think when you play a 3-quarter ice game against them, right, we weren't getting pucks in, advancing it. We weren't putting it in areas. I mean, every time we dumped it, it was to the goalie. So when you do that, you don't give yourself a chance to really forecheck to really make a difference. A lot of our chances came off of their mistakes, right? We had a couple odd-man rushes, and it wasn't until the 3rd period where we really started to generate our own game and our own chances off of that, so... It's disappointing that we didn't get to it, but I think it's just a stubbornness sometimes to maybe we're starving for goals, but they're gonna come by, we talked about this earlier, just by playing a really simple, smart game, and then your confidence comes, because now you're getting pucks in areas where you can have a little time and space where things open up, and maybe you get a couple ugly ones, and now you get 2-3 goals in the game and everyone's starting to feel good, and then the pretty ones come. But we're, you know, the cross ice stuff or the 3-quarter ice game, because we're turning it over, is killing us.
Speaking of turnover, what happened on that empty netter with 10? It looked like
I was behind. I didn't even see it. It just looked like it bounced out to him. So create your own luck.
Seth mentioned after that Dallas game that a lot of the dumps were to the goalie there too. And Is that something you guys need to work on now?
Yeah.
That's just the placement of those?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an area we can get better in, obviously. I mean, it hurt us tonight. I think it's an understanding of we got to be slashing across and have guys coming to the puck, and it seems like we're really spaced out, and it looks like we're trying to do the rim, and if you're trying to rim from that far out, the goalie, they're so good now, they can read it. I don't know, Peter does it a ton, and so we got to find different ways to get on a forecheck and understand where to put pucks in order to have success.
Two things that jumped out at me, Nick Foligno. The one where he was talking about them dumping it into the goalie, like they had to do a better job of dump-ins. And Troy Murray was on it all night, when especially in the second period. Troy had brought up that the Blackhawks were just dumping it in right to Joey Decord, and it was an easy zone exit for the Kraken because. You know, it was just it was right to the goaltender, and so the Hawks need to be a little bit more purposeful when it comes to that. And then the other thing that jumped out at me was saying the Blackhawks were hanging around, and it was waiting. The game was waiting for us to take over, and the Hawks didn't. And that's exactly what we talked about through 40 minutes, was the Blackhawks somehow being in the hockey game, down 1-0 going into the third period, even though they were not at their best by any stretch, they still found a way to hang around in the hockey game, and unfortunately they didn't take advantage of that. So we'll see if the Hawks can do a better job. I think we do have our caller back, Kate. Appreciate you holding on, Kate, staying up late with us. You're on the Blackhawks post game show. What's going on?
So I'm just really upset. You know, there's just nothing to be excited about, it feels like. The prospects are, personally, I don't feel like they're doing great. I'm here at the University of Minnesota. That's where I go for school, and Oliver Moore just hasn't been doing great. That's disappointing. We have the dispute with the broadcast. That's disappointing, seeing that fans can't watch the game. Luckily, I direct TV. Bedard's having a tough season. And the new guys that we brought in, Bertuzzi, Teravainen was doing good when he was with Bedard, but they're just not producing. It is just really upsetting. There's just, I don't know what we should be excited for, you know?
Mm.
What are we looking forward to?
By the way,
you're told you're supposed to be better, and I wouldn't say that we're better this year at all.
Yeah, I would push back gently just on that. I think they are a little bit more competitive this season. Feels like last year there were a lot of games where it felt like there were just so many lapses in play where the Hawks were down like 5-1 going into the third period, or they would give up a ton of goals. For the most part, they've been competitive. But here's where I will agree with you, Kate. The offense has not taken that next step this season, and I think when they're not scoring on the power play, it's really hard for the Blackhawks to generate offense at even strength. Like the last four games, the Blackhawks have only three goals at even strength. They have five goals total. One of them came at 3-on-3 overtime. Another one was on the power play. They only have three at even strength. And, you know, I think it's fair too with Connor Bedard. He's kind of seemingly hit a little sophomore slump here. I've always said with him, it feels like once he scores, it's kind of gonna lift the weight off his shoulder, and then it's gonna come in bunches. So I feel like I'm waiting for it, but I do feel like the last few games have been a little bit more concerning than the previous when it comes to Bedard specifically, because he just hasn't been generating many chances. And also, Kate, I do think Oliver Moore might have scored a goal tonight, so that maybe that helps him get back on track. But I think it's tough for me to judge a lot of the prospects that aren't here yet, because like a lot of them are kind of taking encouraging steps in juniors and in college or whatever individually. But until they actually get to pro hockey, you never know how that's going to translate. So I will say it's going to take patience. And I realize it feels like it's a dire situation right now. But I don't think the Hawks are, I still think they're not off course, you know. Like I would be a little bit more concerned if the prospects were underperforming. But so far I don't feel that nervousness yet. But hopefully the Blackhawks can win a little bit more hockey games at the NHL level to make to make fans feel a little bit better about the direction of the franchise. So thank you so much, Kate, for hanging on with us. I know you were, we put you on hold during my opening soliloquy. So I appreciate you hanging on late with us. Another late start for the Blackhawks. We got one more late one on Saturday before we can finally get some of the 7 o'clock and 6 o'clock starts over the next few months here. We got more to get to on the Blackhawks post game show, including our save of the game and comments from Luke Richardson coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Borgen fires from the top of the right circle. Save is made with the pads by Mrazek. He left the net open, and Bjorkstrand from a left wing circle fires the puck right over the top of the empty Hawk net. Now Bjorkstrand from behind the net, put it in front for Gord, and he uses his skates to redirect the puck in on goal, where Mrazek is waiting and gloves the puck off the ice.
That was tonight's Save of the Game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/PoweringBiz. Peter Mrazek, one of 23 saves on the night. Stopped 23 of 25 shots by from Seattle. Joey Decord on the other side, he stopped 18 of 19. Light night for him. Faced 10 of those 19 shots in the third period. Let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson had to say after the 3-1 loss to Seattle.
What do you attribute this slow start with the shots on goal?
You know, I don't think the first period was terrible. I thought, you know, we got more frustrated in the second period. You know, I think we had, a lack of execution on hitting the net. We had three good line rushes in the first where we missed the net, you know, by big margins, which doesn't show up on the shot clock, and it frustrates the team because it basically breaks out the other way. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if it was a slow start. It wasn't our best period maybe, but it wasn't our worst, I think. But sometimes, you know, you get frustrated off of that. You don't get execution and shots on the net, and it looks a little bit more lopsided than it does. And I thought the second period we got frustrated with ourselves, and we weren't in sync at all. Like, I didn't think we played to the structure of our game, which is slashing and supporting and moving the puck up the ice quickly, so we can have more ozone time to have more offensive chances, draw more penalties, and run the shot clock up and wear the other team down.
Don't you expect a little more life though after 3 days off like that?
Yeah, you do. Like, I think that's it's up to us to come out harder and play harder than we did tonight. I thought the stick battles is more concerning to me than the shot clock. I think the 50-50 battles, they were more hungry than we were. And when you come out with those, you're going to have more shots, and we're going to have less because they have the puck way more.
After the Dallas game, there was talk about putting the dump-ins, and the goalie was stopping him a lot. It seemed to be happening again more tonight. Is that something to work on, to placement of that?
Yeah, and I think what happens is when we don't like slash and support, we're kind of singular out there. One guy's by himself, and this team tracks hard, so you end up not panicking, but you dump it in at an inopportune time, and it goes right to the goal. So that was part of the game plan. This guy's an athletic goalie, and he plays the puck well, and especially second period, way too many pucks go to him, and that just negates our forecheck, and there's no ozone time.
Seems like a lot of games of you either struggle for two periods and push in the third, or play well for two periods and gotten under heels in the third. I guess it's tiring to every game follows one of two scripts.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the strength of our team is there's character, which is good, and we see that a lot coming from behind, but there's too many times to come from behind, and that gets exhausting. So we have to come out with more spunk early in the game and in the middle of the game, and then finish off in the game. So that's got to be more consistency for sure in all those areas. Good. You know, he was trying to shoot the puck a lot. I think he had a couple good opportunities in the third. And, he's just a strong player. He makes strong plays and physical back there. So he looked fine. He looked fine for being off, but that's his veteran, status. We knew he would be that when he came back.
Are you disappointed how they handled the puck on that empty netter?
At the end, well, I think we got to move it quicker in the ozone. And, you know, it puts us under the gun. And I think they're tired at that point. And they came back. And I don't think we came back and supported. Seth was by himself and maybe could have made a better play up the wall. But I think he felt like he was just under the gun, and he just tried to get it out of the zone up the wall. Unfortunately, it might have hit Connor's chin pads and went ahead, and it just went right to them. But you know what? When you don't play 60 minutes in a game, you're not going to get those bounces. So that's what we probably deserved at the end.
Yeah, that was a bad bounce on the Beniers one.
into those Allstedt-Dick and Tiramina. Yeah. They're trying to make a good play.
They're there, but they're not there. We got to be able to kill those, and maybe we don't pinch up in the neutral zone. I think Marty and Connor are trying to squeeze the same guy. But then we can't stop skating on the weak side and give them that opportunity, because that was it was a nice shot. But we got to make sure that we don't have to have our goalie sliding side to side, diving for pucks. Keep it on the one side and let him shoot.
Connor's obviously frustrated. Is this a tough time for him to be going to Vancouver, where he's going to be feeling that pressure anyway?
Well, hopefully it's the best time. I mean, to bring a little bit extra juice in his game, and hopefully we can all play better after tonight, which we're going to have to against a team that lost as well tonight. So they're going to be hungry at home to get back on the wins, but we got to make sure we're hungry.
Donato's on pace for 43 points or something like that. Gets one again. What are you just seeing?
Just desperation. I think he's the only guy that's really shooting the puck with desperation and not really, letting that opportunity go by. And it's showing in the stats and in his play. So I think we all have to take a page out of that book.
That was Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson. We got one more break to get to, and we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this. Some NHL history being made across the league. We'll tell you about it after this on 720 WGN.
Stood up at the Edmonton blue line. Tried to get it low, and it was knocked out of the air by Nurse. He'll give it to Drysdale down the left wing to McDavid. Scores! There's the 1,000 points! And the Oilers have tied this game at one, and they all come off the bench to mob Connor McDavid as he gets point number 1,000 on a beautiful setup by Leon Drysdale.
That was Jack Michaels of CHED Radio calling Connor McDavid's goal tonight against the Nashville Predators for his 1,000th career NHL point. He's the fourth fastest player in NHL history to hit the 1,000-point mark. He did it in 659 games. He came very close to being the third fastest player. Mike Bossy did it in 656 games. So the only two others that have done it faster, Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux. So unbelievable by Connor McDavid. And also, go check out the overtime goal that the Oilers scored. Darnell Nurse. McDavid assisted on Darnell Nurse's overtime goal, and it was probably the pass of the year in the NHL. So, heck of a player, best player I've ever seen. Congrats to Connor McDavid, and here's to 1,000 more. All right, let's get to tonight's next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are in Vancouver on Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, and it's a big game for the Blackhawks because it's Connor Bedard's homecoming game. First game at home in Vancouver, because last season he had fractured his jaw and he missed the game when the Blackhawks were there. So it's going to be a special night for Connor Bedard, his family. He was already joking how he's going to be paying to play for the day because he's going to be purchasing a lot of tickets for friends and family. And man, what better arena to potentially do it in to snap his 8-game goal drought than to do it in front of his family and friends? That would be a huge lift for Connor Bedard, who you can feel the, you know, he's really kind of squeezing the stick, it feels like, and hasn't been generating as many chances. So it would be nice to see him get on the score sheet in his hometown against Vancouver on Saturday. And by the way, Vancouver lost tonight. They had only 5 shots on goal through the first 2 periods, so they're going to come out hungry as well. Blackhawks better be ready. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Patrick Hennessy. They were led by our engineer, the Colonel, Brett Jackson. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Seattle, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 3-2 Blackhawks loss to the Kraken. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you on Saturday night.